Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Then came out one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Father, I pray that you would give to each of us and pour out on us your Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation, opening our minds and hearts to understand and grasp your word and your presence and your will for our lives. We pray that you fulfill your purpose among us today through the preaching of the word. Amen. Please be seated. And I encourage you, if you haven't, to turn to Mark chapter 5 in your Bibles. So I'm going to go through this passage and reflect on it because it is an incredibly rich and substantive passage. And what I want to do is draw out from it what it says to us about Jesus. And what it says to us about our lives. And then what it says to us about how to live our lives in the kingdom of heaven, in this world. In verse 22, "Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at Jesus' feet and implored him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live.' And he went with him." It's remarkable to me that here is a man who comes into the midst of a crowd and asks Jesus, "Come with me and do this thing." And Jesus goes with him. And it's an indication of who Jesus is and why he is present in the midst of the world. Of course, it's said plainly to us in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world that whoever believes in him may be saved. Jesus is in the midst of the crowd and in the world because he loves people. He goes with Jairus because he loves Jairus. He goes to lay hands on Jairus' daughter so that she might be well and live because he loves her. And he is in the midst of them. And so he goes. And he's surrounded by a great crowd. And these are each people for whom Jesus came, for whom he will die, and he loves each and every one of them. And as that great crowd thronged around him, probably pushing into him, interacting with him, calling out to him, there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garments. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Jesus has come into the world because of love for this woman, to save and to give life to this woman. In the midst of the crowd, he's not content to just know them as a crowd. When he is touched by her and he recognizes that someone touched him, he says, "Who touched me?" Not only out of curiosity, but to connect, to enter into her life. And this is a woman who had suffered greatly. And according to the law, she would be condemned. I want to read to you what the law, the Torah, given by God, says about someone like her who has suffered bleeding for 12 years. This is from the law as written in Leviticus in chapter 15, verses 25. "If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge, she shall continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge, shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanness of her menstrual impurity. And whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. Thus you shall keep the people of Israel separate from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in their midst." It's quite severe against this woman. And she has suffered this for 12 years, being considered unclean and cursed, being ostracized from the people. And Jesus welcomes her into his presence because he has come to reconcile people like her to God. That instead of coming into the presence, the tabernacle of a holy God and being condemned, she might come into the presence of a holy God and be welcomed. And that's what Jesus has come to do, to express God's love for each and every person, because each of us is unclean, and yet Jesus not only touches us, but allows us to touch him. And he looks for her that he might declare to her that not only is she clean, but she is a daughter of God. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Jesus has come to create peace with God. As Paul says in Romans chapter 5, "Now through faith have we been justified and we have peace with God." This is what Jesus has come to do. And what he wants to do is to connect eye to eye, person to person with each of us, to say to us, "My son, my daughter, your faith has healed you and made you well. Your faith has saved you by grace." And Jesus continues in the crowd. He continues with Jairus. And despite the negative reports that messengers from Jairus' house come and say, your daughter is dead, don't trouble the teacher. What Jesus demonstrates is the sovereignty of God, that he has come into the world to overcome all the curse of sin and death. He is greater than even death. He has shown us already that he's greater than sickness. He's greater than uncleanness and everything that will defile people and separate them from God, and especially death. Jesus comes to declare the truth of the kingdom of heaven. And so when he hears the news of darkness, your daughter is dead. That which you hoped for is dashed and gone. Jesus says, don't fear, only believe. This is the message that Jesus brings. Don't fear the worst. Don't fear the curses. Don't fear the power of sin and death. Only believe. And what is he asking Jairus to believe in? To believe in himself, that Jesus is the one who gives life. Jesus is the one who saves. Jairus has no idea what is going to happen or what he is supposed to do. What he knows is that Jesus is present. And that if he just goes along with Jesus, maybe the desires of his heart will be answered. Because Jesus, as he says in John chapter 11 to the sisters Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Our hope is in Jesus because he has the power of life. And he says in John chapter 5 that even now the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear and believe shall rise to life. And so he goes into this place of death and weeping and mourning, and he overcomes it. He speaks the word of truth. She is not dead, but asleep. Sleep means death, but he goes to awaken her, just like he did Lazarus. And he reaches out his hand, and he speaks life. And he speaks the word of commandment that everything in creation must obey, because it is the sovereign and authoritative word from God, the word by which all things were created, apart from which nothing exists. And he says, little girl, I say to you, arise. And his words are fulfilled because they are the words of life. And she arises, and he restores her to her family. And ultimately, this is what Jesus has done. What he does for the woman and what he does for the child is he restores them to the community of God's people. He restores them to their families. And what he has done is he has come to us to restore and reconcile us to God, that we may again be in the family of God. Which is why the Bible uses the term adoption, that we have been adopted by the will of the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, to be his children. God has reconciled us. He's brought us from death into the life and family of God. So what does this mean for us? Well, what we see in the actions of Jairus and the woman with issue of blood is that, like them, we are desperate. We are desperate for the touch and the word of Jesus to give us life. Jairus, on one hand, is a man of status, a ruler among the people of God. He has great status, and we know from John chapter 9 that at some point, probably by now in Jesus' ministry, the rulers of Israel, the religious leaders, have said that if you believe and follow this man, you will be put out of the synagogue. Jairus risks that because he is desperate. He's desperate for something to overcome sickness and impending death of his child. And the truth of the scriptures is that each one of us is in that desperate situation, facing impending death of ourselves and of everyone we love. We all must die. The wages of sin is death. We are facing death. We are as desperate as he is. Yet at this point in Jairus' life, he accepts it, that I am desperate and there is nothing that I can do except believe the reports about this man who heals the sick. And so he goes to him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. As we hear the word of the Lord, it is our responsibility to accept it and to accept our desperation that unless we repent, unless we turn to God and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will die in our sins. But if we believe in Him, we shall have eternal life. So sometimes we have to reject the protocols. We have to risk losing our status and our place in culture and society to gain life. Whether it's for us, for our salvation, or whether we go to Jesus for our loved ones, for our children, like Jairus does, and say, Lord, come to my child, come to my daughter, come to my son. Speak your word, touch them that they may live. That's the situation we're in, and we are so blessed to have a God who is gracious and who hears our prayers and who comes to us and to our loved ones to give life. So let us not hesitate at all to go to Him. The woman with the issue of blood, she's on the other side. She has been cast out. She has been ostracized. She risks further condemnation to touch Jesus. And she presses in, and it's really inexplicable because she says in her own heart, if I just touch Him, I'll be healed. Jesus never said that. The Word of God didn't say that. The Holy Spirit put this on her heart. If I can just touch Him, I will be healed. And she goes forth, and Jesus does not reject her. Jesus looks at her in love and blesses her. Because as the Word says in John chapter 6, all those that the Father draws to Him, He will not cast out. And He says Himself in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So sometimes it is the Holy Spirit who puts a word on our heart. I must do this. If I do this, then this. It's not something we make up, but it's something that the Holy Spirit might put on our heart. And I hear it sometimes, and I'll say it sometimes, like, man, I really need to spend more time in Scripture. If I do that, I will have more peace. Or I need to start praying more specifically about those things in my life that worry me. For then I will put them in God's hands and I'll have peace. Maybe God has put something like that on your heart. And those are the things the Spirit leads us into. And some of them might seem foolish because we walk by faith, like this woman. She walks by faith and not by sight. But her faith is in Jesus. And He is the object of our faith too. Jesus Christ, the person, the Son of God and the Son of Man. All that the Spirit puts on our heart will lead us closer to Him and into an encounter with Him where we might experience more of Him, to know Him better. And what He also shows us is that sometimes He asks us to believe and to stand firm in our faith, even against that which seems obvious. The child is dead. Trouble the teacher no more. And Jesus says, only believe. Do not be afraid. And He walks into the house and He rebukes those who are mourning and crying over the child and says, she's not dead. And He casts them out of the house. He comes against that which seems to be obvious. But He comes with a greater truth, the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And what Scripture teaches us is that the reality of the kingdom is the greater reality. And that sometimes we have to stand on what God's word says, even against what the world is saying to us through our senses. And so we stand on the word of God. And Jairus did it because Jesus was with him. And that's the key. Are we listening to what Jesus says? Do we know that He's with us? And that leads us to the final emphasis here, is how does this teach us to live in God's kingdom? Well, I meditated on this because, you know, it makes it seem like, oh, if I could just touch Jesus, all would be made well. Well, how do we do that when He's unseen, when He's at the right hand of the Father? And then I thought, well, He promises in Matthew 28, the final verses, that I am with you always. And I read in John recently that He says, I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. And then He gives to us the Holy Spirit of the Father and the Son. So He is with us, just as he was present there, not physically, but in spirit, he is with us. So there is, by faith in his grace, the means by which we can interact with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, through the body of Christ also. We can touch those who are around us. And then I looked at how he raises Jairus' daughter. And you, probably like me, have had people you've prayed for who are sick, even children. And God doesn't heal them. They die. I'm in North Carolina. We prayed for a young boy named Louie for several years who had cancer. And we prayed for him, and many other churches did too. And he died and went to be with the Lord. And so I thought, God, what are you saying about life in your kingdom? And what Jesus does for the woman and for the little girl, he does for us. In his kingdom, we have reconciliation with him. In his kingdom, we are raised to life and have eternal life and shall overcome death. And so what he teaches us is to have that hope eternally and to be assured that we will be with him forever and have eternal life, and to pray like he taught us to pray, God, bring your kingdom here now. Bring life and healing and peace and reconciliation here now. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And to pray and to pursue those miracles. And as we pray and pursue them, we will experience more and more of God's kingdom now. Not that things will be made perfect, not that all of our aches and pains will go away, or not that people won't die. We will be assured of the hope we have in heaven, and we'll start to experience the presence of his kingdom now through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. He is here among us. His sovereignty is here to be exercised in the world, and he does it through us and through one another. So Jesus is present with us to do this good, to express his love. He calls us to have faith in him and to recognize our desperation for him and to act on it. To do everything we can to be close to him, to worship him, to receive from him. And then to make it our goal to live in the present reality of God's kingdom, knowing that we have a guarantee of what is to come. And so we pray for that to come now, even in the midst of us. And as we are built into the body of Christ, we will demonstrate his kingdom more and more to those around us, that his name would be glorified and that people would see and no longer fear, but believe in his name and so be saved. And that's ultimately the goal of our faith. So let's believe in it and pursue it through Jesus Christ. Amen.